Hello and welcome to Chasing the Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Holver, a digital nomad, world traveler, dreamer, and lover of life. Currently, I'm a social media marketer, a freelancer, and I'm totally obsessed with inspiring other women to dream bigger and live bolder. Each week, I'll be featuring women who have successfully created location-independent lifestyles that give them the freedom to live life on their own terms, and how you can do the same. My goal is to show you that your dreams are possible and how much opportunity you have to not only create an income online, but also to make a real difference. So, if you're ready to start living a life that excites you by learning from others who have already done it, then you're in the right place. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, welcome back, guys. Welcome back to this week's episode of Chasing the Freedom. I've been so looking forward to this episode because I love talking about the subject that my guest and I are going to be talking about today. And I am so excited if you guys see her story, hear about everything she's done for herself. And just excited to have her on. Okay, so my guest today is Chloe Crane. And just a little bit about her. So we actually met just a couple weeks ago on Instagram. I found her page. I think she liked a couple of my pictures. And I went to her page and started reading her posts. And as soon as I started reading about her and her story, I was like, I want to get this girl on my podcast. And we actually had a call last week to talk about the things that she offers and everything, and I'm interested in her services. Okay, so what she does is she is a millennial money coach, and she helps millennials go from broke college grad to financially free, which is so cool. And she just turned 23, so she's fresh out of college. She paid off over $36,000 in debt in just 18 months. And now she helps her clients do the same by learning how to handle their money, pay off debt, and build wealth. And that just makes me so excited because I think more young people and just more people in general, but especially more young people, more millennials seem to be talking about money and realizing that they don't have to stay broke. You know, they have options, they have things that they can do to get over their debt, and they have resources out there. So I love that she does that with her clients. So Chloe, welcome on. I'm so excited to have you on.
Awesome. I'm so excited to be here. Money is my favorite subject, so I can't wait to start talking and getting into some questions. Cool. Thank you for the intro. Yeah. I'm Chloe. I'm a millennial money coach. Like Lynn said, I am 23. And my story really started with paying off over $36,000 in 18 months of debt. And from there, I, really just fell in love with the transformation, not only with my bank account, but that it had on my life as a whole. And I decided that I had to share this with other people. So that's really where I started, where I got my inspiration for deciding to start coaching others.
Cool. So can you kind of just take us back to where you were before you started doing this? So just maybe rewind, a year or 2 years ago, where were you at and what kind of gave you the inspiration to pay off your debt in the way you did?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a junior in college and I was kind of just paralyzed with the fear of my finances. I didn't want to talk about finances. I didn't look at my bank account. I always joke that I played the fun little game with my debit card where I would go to swipe and buy something and I had no idea if it would decline or not. I was like, I don't know what's in my bank account. I have no idea. So sometimes it would decline. I'd be like, all right, well, okay, shoot. I guess I will set this shirt down or whatever. I'm serious. I was horrible with my finances. And it wasn't necessarily that I wasn't making money. It was that I didn't know how to handle the money that I had. As a college student, I was going to school full time, but I had 4 part-time jobs. And for most of them, I was making minimum wage, but for a couple of them, I was making a pretty good, I think one of them I made about $20 an hour, and which for a college student, I mean, that's gold. I was super pumped up. But I kind of had this breakdown where I remember this so vividly. There was this big party or outing or something and I had to miss it because of work. And I was like, why do I keep missing all these fun things to work when I have nothing to show for it? I have no money in my account ever because it's always gone. I'm always spending it, or I'm always doing this, X, Y, Z. And so I was like, why don't I just stop working and then I'll still be broke, but at least I'll be able to go to all the fun stuff. So I didn't do that, but I did really, it kind of lit a fire under me to start figuring out, why do I work so much but have no money? And really the root of it was once I started budgeting and tracking my finances, saying, where is my money even going? You know, at the end of the month, I couldn't even guess how much I was spending on food or how much I was spending on clothes because I wasn't tracking it in any capacity. So once I sat down and I started saying, how much am I spending on XYZ? I realized, holy cow, I'm spending so much and I didn't even realize it. And then once I was able to start saying, wait, what if instead I started putting that towards something else like savings or like debt? That's really when everything started clicking for me. And I realized that, hey, I'm going to stop working for pretty much nothing. And instead, I'm going to put it towards debt. And I just went crazy. I went crazy on debt. And people always ask me, like, what's your big secret? Like, how did you do that so quickly? And I really don't have a secret. I can tell you exactly every single thing I did. Budgeting it was huge for me. But really one of the big foundational pieces that really I think gave me an edge is that I graduated college. And when I graduated college, I got my, you know, big girl job, a corporate job. And when I went and got a pay increase, obviously, because I went from, you know, part-time jobs to a full salary position, I didn't really bump up my lifestyle. I think a lot of times, especially with millennials, after you graduate college and you get this, you know, really nice income, all of a sudden it's like, awesome, now I'm going to buy a car and now I'm going to live in a nice apartment and now I'm going to buy all these clothes and now I'm going to do all this stuff. And their lifestyle increases so much that it feels like they aren't making more money because their expenses are increasing too. So sure, I increased my expenses to some extent, but I really didn't have that luxurious lifestyle jump, if that makes sense. And because of that, I was able to keep lower expenses similar to, you know, my college days, and I had a lot more income to throw at debt. So I just, and as time went on and I would just pay off more and more debt, I would get so much more pumped up. And so my motivation was just constantly at an all-time high about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. I love how, oh, dang it. I just had something to say about that. Oh, I think it's really interesting how you were pointing out that for yourself, you were working these jobs and you felt like you had nothing to show for it. I feel like so many people can identify to that, like just not even, or even if they're making more money or yeah, basically making more money, but still feeling like they're barely scraping by. That's always been super fascinating with me. And because I feel like it's just so common. Like, is it pretty common in the clients that you work with? Like, even though they're making more, they're like essentially living up to what they're making.
Oh, absolutely. And oftentimes it's so funny because I will sit down with clients and our first session when we sit down, you know, we'll start going through stuff, looking at where their money is going, all this stuff. And just by tracking stuff, they'll be like, oh my gosh, I have so much money. I have so much money because I didn't know where it was going. People are often, the fact that if I can't say, wait, where did that, you know, $500 or whatever dollars go? If I know, oh, I spent it on Starbucks, that's so much easier to say, hey, next month I want to spend less so I can put $500 towards my savings or towards debt or wherever. But again, if you're not tracking it, it feels like such a huge defeat because you're like, I feel like it's just disappearing, right, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people don't really take the time to sit down and budget because it seems, I don't know, maybe overwhelming or complicated or something like that. But yeah, that's insane. So you were graduating college, or you graduated college. You started getting very passionate about paying off all of your debt. What was the process like for doing it yourself to kind of transitioning to the coaching side of it and realizing like, hey, I think I could help other people with this too, or hey, I'm passionate about this? Or was it more like people came to you and asked for advice and that's where you got the idea? Or was it you being like, no, I actually want to pursue this?
Yeah, it was really a combination of both. So as I started to realize, so at first I truly did it from a standpoint of I want more money. Therefore, I'm going to go do this. And I know that if I pay off my debt, it'll be easy for me to get a lot of money, to build my own wealth. That was it. That was all my sight was set on, pretty much. And through the process, I realized, holy cow, like my beliefs around money and my beliefs around what was possible for me. For example, I had always thought, oh, well, I'll never be wealthy. Oh, well, that's not for, you know, I could never afford that. Oh, I could blah, blah, blah. I set all these standards for myself that I, because my standards were set at a certain point, I hadn't even thought past that line, because why would I dream past that line if I didn't think anything was possible for me? And so once that changed, once that started rolling, I was like, wait a second, I can be debt free. Wait a second, I can afford that. Wait a second, I can build wealth, blah, 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 blah. And that ball just started rolling. It was so transformative in all aspects of my life. And I all of a sudden was like, oh my gosh, I want everyone to feel this way. Like, I want everyone to realize it. And I taught this kind of jumping off subject a little bit, but I have to share this. A lot of times when I get on a call with people who are interested in working with me, I say, what is your biggest financial struggle right now? And they answer that question. Usually it's like paying off a credit card or debt or things like that. And then I will ask them, what would be your biggest financial dream? And it's crazy to me, because often it's, well, I just wish I could pay off some of my debt. Or, well, if I could just maybe make a little extra payment on my credit card. Or even like, I just wish that I had some sort of savings account. And it blows my mind, because when they hear, what is your biggest financial dream? That's where they're dreaming. You know, they're not dreaming, I want a lake house and I want to help my parents retire and I want to donate $100,000 to my favorite charity. They're just, all they want is this tiny little goal, you know? And so the coolest part about working with clients and working on, you know, really working with people through their finances is that I'm not just teaching people how to handle money or what to do with their money, but I'm really showing them that they can dream so much bigger than what their eyes are set on right now. And that is the most rewarding thing ever, ever, ever. I love it.
I love that. Oh my gosh. That gets me fired up. That's just so amazing. Oh my gosh. I love that. Why do you think that most people have their sights set so low? I'm just curious, where do you think that comes from?
Yeah. So, and I talk with my clients about this a lot. This is one of the first things that I talk through with them, is money mindset and your beliefs around money. And it's nuts. This is one of the craziest things to me, is so a lot of your beliefs around money, or your beliefs in general, are set at such a young age. Like, they're normally set between 7, 8, 9 years old. So if you can think back to, you know, when you were picking your nose, like on a playground somewhere, you know, do you still want those same beliefs? Like, you don't even know the earth was round. Maybe you did. I don't know. But, you know, you weren't this logical adult. But yet, as a logical adult, so many of our beliefs are still the exact same as they were when we were 8 years old. For example, if you had a parent who was working overtime all the time, and they were constantly saying, oh, you know, my job is so hard, this is so difficult, blah, 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 you might have the belief that it's really, really, really difficult to make money and you have to work hard and you have to do this and all this stuff. So as an adult, you might also carry around that belief to where, you know, there might be easier ways for you to receive money or make money, but your belief is that it has to be really, really hard. It has to be super difficult. And so you take on a lot more stress in order to get more money. So you might, that might look like picking up a really high stress job, or also picking up, you know, feeling like you have to work all this overtime, or you have to do this, and there's still never enough. So a lot of those beliefs we still carry. And if you're not actively working on growing them or adapting them or changing them, that's really where some of those beliefs are stuck with. Similar to if I always joke around with my clients, and I always ask them, when you go to fill up your gas tank, do you fill it all the way up? And they're always so thrown off by this. And the reason I ask this is because so many clients of mine, they'll go in and they'll put $5 in their gas tank. And then 4 days later, they'll go in and put $10 in their gas tank. And they never fill it all the way up. And the reason they do this, which is crazy, has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with logistics. It has to do with the fact that they're scared to give money away, put money in their gas tank, because they feel like, oh, my money's always gone. Like, I have to hold on to money so tightly. I don't ever just want to put money in my gas tank, or, paying rent is hard for them, things like that. So it's difficult for them to just fill up, even though in a 3 week span or whatever, they're going to be putting $30 in their tank anyways. They would rather draw it out and only put as much as they have to in there, because they're holding on so tightly to money. A lot of times, because they have this belief that money always leaves. There's never going to be enough money, blah, blah, blah. So these really deep rooted beliefs from when they're 8 years old are still making them do crazy things as an adult. So again, budgeting for things and working on that money mindset can truly change so many of your actions and help shape new beliefs too. And again, help you to dream bigger and to change those, crazy, really small beliefs that you had as a child.
Wow. That is so fascinating to me. That is just so crazy. I'm like thinking about all the times that I just put like 10 bucks in my gas tank or something like that. I feel like a big one for maybe people who are religious, like I come from a very religious background, and like, I think a big one for me was like the verse that says like money is the root, or it's been translated to like money is the root of all evil, when it actually doesn't say that. It says like it can be a root of all kinds of evil, just as anything can be a root of all kinds of evil. But I feel like that's been translated to just mean different things. And I feel like if you do have a religious background, then it might be, I think sometimes, I don't know, it just depends on what your background is. Like sometimes it can feel shameful to have a surplus. Or sometimes, yeah, if you are making more, if you're doing well, or you tempted to like give it away or feel like guilt or shame or anything. So that's something that I really realized for myself when I started learning about like all the money mindset things. And I was like, wow, just had no idea that that was even there until, like you said, you actually talk about it and realize the things that are like imprinted in your brain that you don't even know about. So
yes, you have to question it, because so often we do not realize it. It's not like you wake up every morning and you're like, wow, money is the root of all evil, and then you go on with your day. It's just something rooted in the back of your brain. And it is crazy, because especially for Christians, or again, depending on your religion, if you've grown up hearing other people say, or hearing certain people translate or whatever, that money is, money is greedy and wanting money is blah, blah, blah. All that stuff, again, it puts that guilt on you to where you're like, well, I can never have a lot of money because then I would be this horrible person or blah, blah, blah. And for my clients who are struggling with that, with a feeling of money being bad, or it being weird to want money, or it being weird or selfish to want more money, I always have them do this exercise, which I know you love giving your audience tangible tips. So I want to share this. So if you are someone who, and if this is you, totally normal. This in our society, I would say this is the majority of people. But if it's weird for you to say, I want more money, if it feels weird for you to say that, or you say that and you're like, oh, like I feel so icky saying that, do something for me. Sit down on a piece of paper and write something that you do want to do that has nothing to do with money. I'm making air quotes. But for example, instead of saying I want money, say I want to go visit my grandparents and bring them lunch. Okay, surprise them and bring them lunch. Okay, can you do that without money? No, you need money to drive to your grandparents and to buy them lunch and to bring it. So then connect those two phrases. Say, so your first phrase says, I want to visit my grandparents and I want to bring them a special lunch. And your second phrase says, I want money. If you feel icky about the I want money, connect them and say, I want money so I can drive to my grandparents. I can fill my car up with gas that costs money, drive to my grandparents and buy them a sandwich and surprise them. And you connect those two. So then it doesn't feel so weird and icky to want money because you know that you're going to do something awesome with it. You know that you're going to be doing something that does align with your goals and your desires and also with a greater good. And in our society, we need money to do that, to make an impact, to survive, to live. And so really talking about that in your own life, seeing how that shows up is so impactful. Because then it can really open up doors to, hey, money isn't bad. Like money isn't, I need it to do all these good things.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. You guys, if you're listening, try that right now. That was so good. I love that. Wow. So you started doing coaching. So you're doing coaching now. Is that something that you do full time with your clients, like one-on-one?
No, right now I also still am, right after I graduated from college, I started with a healthcare IT company, and I'm still working full-time with that company. And I'm going to be hopefully within the next year transitioning into full-time entrepreneurship. So exciting.
Okay, well, that's cool then that you're still in your full-time job, because you can kind of speak to what the transition's been like so far. So yeah, you brought up how I like giving my audience tangible tips, because I feel like kind of transitioning over into the starting your own business or starting freelancing or anything like that, I feel like a lot of the times it's daunting for people. Like they don't really know where to start. They don't know, where to start, how to start. So can you kind of give a step-by-step process or what it's been like for you to actually go into coaching? And on top of your full-time job, like what that's been like, how you started getting clients, how you find the time to do it, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So the number one thing that I would say is to really get clear on what you want to do and who you want to serve. Instead of feeling like, I could do this or I could do this. Like, what do you really, really want to do? And what are you good at doing? What comes really natural to you? And really figuring out your zone of genius. So basically what you love and you're good at doing, you know, that little corner of the world that you excel at and it just doesn't feel like work for you, and thrive on that. I mean, get super clear on that vision. And then I would definitely say invest in mentorship in some capacity, whether that be someone who's one step ahead of you or 20 steps ahead of you or, you know, 3 miles, 3 million miles, whatever. Having that, because the thing that I think a lot of people, I would say like new entrepreneurs, someone who wants to start their own business, one thing I think that is really kind of blurry is that they say like, oh, I don't need a coach right now. Like I'm just starting out and blah, blah, blah. And you don't have to get a coach or a business coach or a mentor in the beginning. However, they will save you so much trial and error starting out. So I think that's really been one of the biggest things that has just, saved me so much time and stress and blah, 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 is investing in mentorship that just bumps me up, you know, makes me not waste time trying to figure it all out and, you know, reinvent the wheel, but really to where I can jump ahead. And it's really hard, I think, in the beginning of starting your own business to invest in yourself. And for anyone, even someone who's not trying to start your own business, if you are trying to invest in yourself, it feels so weird as opposed to purchasing something else. So I would give this example. If you go into Target and you buy a shirt, okay, you pick up that shirt, you're holding it in your hands, you go to the register, you hand, you know, the person your debit card, you swipe it and you walk out with that shirt. You instantly have that shirt with you. It's yours. You paid for it. You gave them money, you got the shirt instantly. When you're investing in yourself, you're basically saying, hey, I am going to make this investment, I'm going to pay, and I have nothing in that moment. You know, actually, I really think you kind of level up. You kind of are like, hey, I'm worth this investment, and you kind of act a little different. So I do think that a little bit. But for my metaphor, when you invest in yourself, the return might not come for a couple weeks or a month or blah, blah, blah. It's not guaranteed like that. Sure, when you're walking out of Target, you know exactly what you have, as opposed to really saying, I'm going to invest myself and say, all right, I'm going to work towards XYZ, but not have that guarantee. However, I think that investing in yourself is the best thing ever, and you are your best investment. So for sure, do it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Another thing I would say for those starting out is to really, really get clear on your process. So I think, and I feel like I made this, I don't want to say mistake, because I don't want to put any negative connotation with it, but I think that it's helped me as a coach, but I think it's also helped my clients, is getting really, really clear about the process of which I take my clients through. Because having that, knowing what you want to do and knowing exactly how you're going to get them from step A to step B to step C, whatever, really just opens up this window of opportunity for the two of you that creates this level of transparency and really helps build their confidence that, hey, I'm going to get you that end result that you want. So yeah. And for me, I know you wanted me to touch on the kind of like the transition of how I find time for my business and things like that. For me, having like working in the corporate world has been a huge blessing. I think that sales, anytime you are an entrepreneur or you're starting your own business, you are going to be doing a lot of marketing and a lot of sales. And it sounds funny because I used to say like, oh, I'm not as like selling anything, you know, even when it was like Girl Scouts, you know, like I'm not a salesy person, but it's not like a sleazy selly person. It truly is just about, but you do sales and you do marketing. And so for me, the reason why my corporate job has been such a blessing is because I've been able to grow my business at my own pace. And when I jump on calls with prospective clients who are interested in working with me and I want to work with them, and we are talking about the investment and talking about working together, I don't sell from a place of desperation, because I am not in a place where, oh, I have to have this money to come in, or I won't be able to pay for rent, or I have to have this money come in, or XYZ. And I think that is, for me at least, I definitely knew that I don't want to transition into full time until I'm at a place where I still have that integrity of when I jump onto those calls, I truly am talking at the best interest of the client. Like I want them to get the transformation, and that's my number one goal, as opposed to crossing over into that line of, oh, I have to make this sale. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs maybe struggle with that at the beginning, which is, you know, a reason why I really loved having this more natural transition.
I think that's so smart. I just want to point out one of the things you said, how when you jump on a call, you don't want to come from a place of desperation. And I feel like that is brilliant, because people can hear, I think, or I mean, I don't think, like, I know people can tell when you're on the phone with them and talking to them, what if you're coming from a place of like true authenticity, like, okay, I actually want to help you, I actually care about you, versus, okay, like, I care about you, but I also just like kind of really need to like make this money right now. And so I think your strategy is amazing. And I also think, I just really think it's smart how you're doing it. Like, you are taking time, like, you're not rushing the process. You're, you know, investing in yourself, investing in mentors and gaining experience, gaining clients, but not putting a time stamp on it, because I feel like that's just so important, because I feel like if you try to rush it, that's when it's not going to work out how it's supposed to. So I like how you're staying in corporate and you're building it on the side. I just think that's the smartest way that you can do that when you're out of college and still have a job and everything. So do you typically build your business in the evenings then? And on the weekends, is that kind of the time that you find to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the really nice thing about my corporate job is that for the most part, it's very flexible. I can really mix and match my schedule. If I need to go in early and leave later, or I need to go in later and come in later, it really works. And so it's been really nice to be able to really set up my clients for when it works out best for them and for me. And yeah, and again, this really comes back to the soul why of the business, the soul passion that drives it. And, you know, my boyfriend, he'll laugh at me all the time because I'll come home from working a 10-hour day and work 4 or 5 hours, you know, in this business. And it doesn't feel like work to me. I mean, sure, sometimes there's like, oh, you know, I don't want to do this tiny little email thing or, you know, something like that. Everybody has those. But for the most part, I'm like, I love this stuff. Like, I love it. So it truly, like, it started really as a hobby for me almost. Sounds like a geeky hobby. No, I'm kidding. But I love it. And so because it's so fun and it drives me, it really doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, I just worked a full day and now I have to come home and do all this stuff. Like, it really doesn't feel like that. And for me, I know that I am just so aligned because, and you know, I like what I'm doing in the corporate field, but I'll come home from my corporate position and I'll be so drained. Like, I'll just be like, oh my gosh, wow. And after I do work with my, you know, this company, Deeper Than Money, I'll be so pumped up. You know, whether it's a podcast like this, or I'm working with a client, or I am working on an amazing new product, whatever it is, when I'm finished, I'm like, yes, this is awesome. I'm like, pumped up. I'm like, should I go work out? It's midnight. Yeah. You know, I'm just, my energy is just pumped up. And I think that's really another way to see, like, where's your zone of genius? Because I, even when my body might be tired, you know, it's late at night or whatever, I'm wired. I'm like, it's honestly, I think the only downfall of having the really building my business at night and on the weekends, because I do my corporate job during the day, is it's so hard for me to get to bed at night. Because it's like 10:45 and I'm like, how am I supposed to sleep? Like, I have so many ideas right now.
So tired in the morning. Yeah.
I know, exactly. I'm like, oh man, I gotta get to bed.
Okay.
But yeah, I love it.
That's when you know. Like, I just feel like that's when you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're so fired up. I just, your energy is contagious. I love it. Oh, so good. Okay, so switching gears just a little bit. Obviously, you know, the title of the show is called Chasing the Freedom. And this is my favorite question I ask my guests, because I'm super passionate about the whole concept of freedom and just hearing what it means to different people, because it means something different to me than it did 6 months ago. And every person that I ask, what does the word freedom actually mean to you? Everyone always has something different to say. I love it. So what does freedom mean to you right now?
Okay. I would say that freedom really means living and taking action out of a place of abundance and desire, and not out of a place of fear or scarcity. So in a really practical sense, I would say that means, you know, not saying no to things due to money or time constraints, and not saying yes to things out of obligation. So really having that middle ground of freedom from the feel like I have to, or freedom from the feel like I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm really just freedom of choice and true choice, and not, I'm definitely a people pleaser. And so I struggle with, well, I feel like I should do that, or this is what society thinks I should do, or this is what so-and-so. And so really coming back to a place of what is most aligned with what I believe and who I am and all those things, and then making a decision from that place, as opposed to making a decision of out of fearfulness of, oh my gosh, like, I'm scared that this will happen, and so I should do that. or I have to do that. But instead being like in this really expansive place of anything is possible. What would be my next decision? What is my choice? So that's what it means to me.
Oh, I love that. That's actually interesting that you say that, because I've realized over the past couple of months that mine has changed and it's very similar to that. It's sounds like yours is like freedom of living in your truth, like living in alignment of your truth and what it actually is to you and not what other people choose for you or what you think you're supposed to, what you think it should be or anything like that. And I think that's so important because the majority of people are thinking like how their choices are, or thinking about other people when they're making their decisions, or thinking about how they're going to be perceived or what this means to other people. But it's like really when I think, like, I totally agree with you. I think that being free to like live in alignment with the person that you actually are, you just have this huge weight lifted off of your shoulder because you realize that ultimately, you know, as long as you're in line with yourself, your beliefs, your morals, and everything like that, then really that's the only thing that matters. And so I totally agree with what you just said. I love that. So good. Okay. So if there was just one thing that you wish other people our age, and this is cool because you're 23, I just turned 24. So if there was one thing that you wish other people our age would just get, what would it be?
I would 1000% say that the one thing that I really wish people would just get is that they can absolutely create any reality they want. I think so many people are stuck in the, you know, in this, well, you know, life just happens to me and, you know, I can't ever do that and I can't blah, 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 blah. And I think along with that, along with my one thing that I would want people to get is that, you know, they can create their own reality. But the tip that I would give them to someone who's like, okay, sure, I'll just create my reality starting today. Gee, nothing changed. I would say, look at your language. So much of what your reality looks like right now is because of your language. You know, how do you talk about, you know, money, for example, because we've been talking about money today. Are you constantly saying, oh, I'm so broke. Oh, I have no money. I'm so poor. You know, if those are the words that you're saying every single day, often that's how you're going to show up. And that's how you're going to dream. You know, if I'm so broke is your reality, why would you dream bigger than broke? Because you're going to be broke. You know, that's what you've said for yourself. And I heard recently on a podcast, someone say the phrase, what follows I am is what you will become. So if you say I am broke, okay, then you're going to stay or become broke. If you say I am wealthy, okay, then that's what you're going to become. And I definitely did this. I remember I would say every single day when I was paying off debt, almost every single day, I would say, I am so happy I'm debt free. Even though I had over $30,000 of debt, I would stand in the mirror and I'd say, I'm so excited to be debt free. I'm so thankful I'm debt free. I can't believe I'm debt free. Oh my gosh, I am debt free. I would say that all the time because when I first started saying it, it seemed impossible. You know, I was a 19 year old standing in front of 30,000 of debt working an 8-hour minimum wage job. Like that seemed impossible for me. But the more I said I am debt free, even though I wasn't, the more it sounded possible. And the more it sounded like, wait, what if I could be debt free? And then it sounded like, oh my gosh, like I can do this. And then all of a sudden one day I said it and it was true. You know, and not like, oh, I just didn't do anything. No, I worked my butt off in between that. But because I kept pushing for that and I kept working towards that and I kept my mind on that and I kept my language on that, my reality started to change with it. So if you're someone who you're listening to this podcast, and you're like, I'm so inspired and I want to change my reality, but I don't know how, look at how you're talking. Are you saying like, well, I can't leave my job or, well, I can't move or, well, I can't blah, blah, blah. Why can't you? You know, question that. I hear all the time, you know, somebody will say like, oh, it's impossible to get ahead or something like that. Question that. Why is it impossible to get ahead? Is that true? No, it's not true. People get ahead every day. So who taught you that? Why did I start believing that? Can I believe something different? Can I see that differently? And you can. Like, it's such a choice. And so when you question why you say things, you're questioning why you believe them. So, oh, it just pumps me up. That's definitely, you know, my biggest aha moment was when I realized how important my language was.
Oh my gosh. That literally pumps me up. I'm like getting like fired up. I feel like my feet coming behind my ears.
I know. I wish we could, when, you know, for your listeners, like, we could just walk up behind every listener with confetti, you know, and just like throw confetti on them and be like, yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. What you were just saying reminded me of the verse. It's like, we hold the power of life and death in our tongue. And I totally agree with that. And just like how what you speak over your life, you essentially become, like, everything that you just said. And it sounds like woo-woo and weird until you do it and you realize how true it is, because your mind, like, what's in your mind, it's going to be reflective, like, of your life and vice versa. And I feel like people don't really even think about that. Like, people don't really think about the language because it just is so natural. It's like a subconscious thing that we just do without even realizing it. So just taking the time to actually even think about that in the first place, it will blow your mind. Like, when you realize how many thoughts go through your head that aren't even real, or how many things that you say that aren't even true, it's just crazy. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. Oh, that was good. All right. So Chloe, if someone is listening and they're like, yes, this girl is awesome, which you totally are, and maybe they're doing, maybe they have more questions for you, or they want to connect with you, get advice, learn more about your services, what would be the best place for them to connect with you?
Yes, I am obsessed with Instagram lately. So definitely pop on over to Instagram. My handle is @deeper_than_money. So yeah, deeper_than_money. So shoot me a message, or, you know, shoot me a comment. I will definitely reply. I love talking to different people. That's how Lynn and I connected. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And I post a ton of different, you know, kind of the woo-woo stuff, kind of the money mindset and that stuff. And then I also post a ton of like super tangible logistic tips, like how to budget or what should you be saving, you know, things like that. I'm definitely part logic, part, you know, magic, woo-woo, blah, 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 the universe, God, everything. I love it. I'm like, you got to have a mix of both, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And when I first started following you, I went through all of your story highlights. I didn't tell you this, but I went through all of your story highlights. And that's when I messaged you, because I was like, dang, this girl is legit. And everything that you talk about, I'm like, oh, I feel the exact same way. And that's why I was so excited to hop on the phone. But yeah, so no, her Instagram is honestly so good though. And definitely, yeah, a mix of a lot of mindset, which is so amazing, and a lot of tangible, practical things as well. So like she said, both are equally important. So I'll link her handle in the show notes too, so you guys can make sure to find her. And yeah, so Chloe, thank you so much. This has been amazing. Like, literally, I feel so fired up right now. I'm like, oh man, I don't know how I'm gonna sleep.
Hey, that must mean you are in your zone of genius too. So congrats to you.
Oh, I know. I'm like, when you were talking about that, I was like, man, maybe I should get into this. I was like, I'm fired up right now. That was so good. And I know people are gonna get so much out of it. And I love how we connected, and I feel like we think very similar. We're on the same wavelength, and I feel like, or I know a lot of people are going to get a lot of good tips out of this. So thank you for all of your time, knowledge, expertise. It was awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It was so much fun, and I am just so grateful that we're connected too.
I know. I'm sure we'll talk soon, probably over Instagram. That's how we've been talking. So I love it. All right. Well, thank you again, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.